Welcome back to Green Lines. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I've got my friend back, Dr. James Gall. I'm so excited to be able to interview him again today. He's written another book. You know, he's an extremely prolific writer, and I hope soon to be a prolific singer of more records. I'm going to get him to get this Christmas album out. But seriously, if you haven't listened to James Gall sing, it's available to you in one of our last podcasts. It's on the Charisma Podcast Network. Strongly recommend it to you. But today we're going to talk about something different, and yet it's not that far away. That in journaling, one of the things we mentioned in our last podcast was to never lose your song.
Wow,
as you go through life, to not lose your song and not lose who you are. And I think journaling is one of those things. We're going to hear it from Dr. Gall. It's one of those things that God gives you, and when you can hear his voice coming through your pen, you're really on to something, and God can give you great direction as you're journaling your day. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit, and I'm just so thrilled to welcome back my friend, Dr. James Gall. Dr. Gall, welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate Charisma and its many different expressions. And you, Dr. Green, and Green Lines. You know, Green Lines is such a good word, not just because it's your name brand, but green. Wow. So that's like new beginnings. And hey, yes. You know, we're heading into a new year, aren't we?
Yes, sir, we are, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, I'm ready to get this other one passed.
Yes, be okay. Done with it. Well, your book, the new book called The Scribe, yes. And we're going to go deep into it, releases today. So this is your launch day, and I have special dispensation from you and privilege that on release days, I get to talk to you.
That's true, you do.
I come first in line unless somebody else gets there first.
Yeah, that's true.
So I like that. Yeah. Brother, talk to me about journaling. How did God first lead you into beginning the journaling process? How did it start?
Thank you. Yeah. So see, I widened the lens on, now this is called The Scribe, Receiving and Retaining Revelation Through Journaling. So what I have done on purpose is I widened the playing field or the lens on this subject of journaling, because I value all three forms. I see there's three different distinct forms. There is the devotional communion with God type journaling that is probably the most predominant form that is taught and promoted today. Mm-hmm. Communion with God, devotional journaling, where you're dialoguing with God. It's more devotional. I refer to it as devotional journaling.
Okay.
Then there is revelatory journaling. Mm-hmm. That's the area that I'm more proficient, let's say, in.
Right.
And that is journaling your dreams, your visions, your God impressions, and things of that nature. Now, does that and devotional journaling overlap? Of course. Of course they do. But then there's a third form of journaling, and does it overlap with the first two? Of course. But that is writing, journaling, logging lessons from life.
I think that's what I do.
Yeah, see? And see different tracks different people connect with. Mm-hmm. And that is where we actually get diaries from. And when I look back, see, I have got a whole pile of books over here that's like the Diary of Signs and Wonders of, you know, Mariah Woodruff Eder. Or how about the Diary of John Wesley?
Yes.
Or different ones like that. And or they are devotional books, but you know what they are? They're actually the diary of a certain person, like a John G. Lake.
Or how about a Spurgeon? Add Spurgeon to that list. How many of Spurgeon's sermons were pretty much journaled?
That's exactly right. And see, and so for me, a lot of it is I will journal dreams and visions and things of this nature. And then I take those and I turn them into articles and or my Charisma blog. And then those will go to Charisma Magazine, And then they might end up in one of my books. Mm-hmm. But it starts out by summarizing. So anyway, how did I get started? I got started by, I'm going to frame it very differently, taking sermon notes.
Okay.
You see, I consider that journaling. Actually, I do.
Sure, of course.
And when I look back in my Bible, in my old notebooks, I go back and I call these treasure chests. The treasure chest that I have when I would be sitting under Derek Prince's teaching ministry and the Holy Spirit would speak to me. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I heard him, and he starts off the stately British scholar, and he starts off and he says, "The way of the cross leads home."
Yes.
The authority that was on the Word of God when he spoke rattled me. And I wrote that down, and I got introduced to Father God through that message. But I also wrote it down. So I started journaling, but it was more out of originally out of like sitting under teaching. Mm-hmm. And then it expanded because dreams and visions started growing and expanding and et cetera. You know, then there was a period of time, it seemed like Revelation kind of like dried up. And then I started writing out my prayers.
You did.
I needed to. And so sometimes people ask me, well, what's the best form? And sort of like spiritual gifts, well, what's the best gift? The one that's needed at the moment. Mm-hmm. And for me, in journaling, which is the best form? Communion with God, revelatory journaling, or life lessons? And I really need to say, they all are beneficial, but do the one that's really needed at the moment.
Yes. You know, I've talked with a lot of authors in the business I'm in, a lot of wannabe authors call up and say, I've got this great idea. You probably have heard this a few hundred times in your life.
Yeah.
They all have a title.
Uh-huh.
It's like having a big hat and no cattle.
Yeah.
They have a title and no book. And so I recommend to them that, you know, before we talk seriously, you might want to go journal for a year.
Exactly.
And write and see what comes up on this topic. Just journal it. And most people won't do that because they're not writers, Dr. Gall.
Well, let's say here's a principle that you and I both know really well.
Okay.
If you're faithful in little, God will make you a steward over much. But if you think you're going to be faithful over much, now I'm going to prick a balloon out here for some people. And it's going to be really good for us.
Mm-hmm. It's going to pop loud.
But if you think you're going to be faithful in much and you're not faithful in little, you're in a fantasy.
Yes. It's called delusional.
It's delusional. You have an illusion. But we don't want to be in an illusion. We want to have a true prophetic destiny. But journaling is one of the tried and true methods biblically and in church history and modern day, that helps put guardrails and guidance to help us down the highway of life.
So the book is titled The Scribe, and I like that a lot because of the scribes of the Bible. They had a much different function, some of them. Some of the scribes had liberty to add, to you know, to take their master's words and make them better.
That
would be called a ghostwriter today.
Yeah, or an editor.
An editor. So let's take the word scribe in your mind, Dr. Gall, and expand on that word. What does it mean to you as you titled your book, The Scribe?
Well, I've taken my inspiration from Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart, you know this, Dr. Green, that is big emphasis with me. My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready rider. So Psalm 45 verse 1 is actually my theme verse for this book.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't use the word scribe.
No.
In that verse. But
would you do me a favor?
Yeah.
I want all my audience to hear this again because you delivered it so eloquently. Would you read Psalm 45:1? What version are you reading from?
Probably New American Standard, but it might be NIV. I'm not
okay. positive. Doesn't matter. Would you read it to us again? Because it is the foundation of journaling.
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So Psalm 45, verse 1 reads, "My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen." I love that. Listen, folks.
Brilliant.
"My tongue is the pen of a ready writer."
Mm-hmm.
And see, let's take a New Testament principle.
Okay.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
But the mouth speaks, and the heart speaks in more than one way. And this says, Psalm 45, verse 1, let me get it correctly again. It says, "My tongue is the pen of the ready writer." So another way of vocalizing is writing, is penning. So that's a scribe.
That is.
What I love is it's my heart overflows. So all of the people that's out there, see, what's journaling? Years ago, I wrote a book that's called The Lost Art of Practicing His Presence. And I was doing an introduction about this book at a conference somewhere. And I was talking about how it's a contemporary read on spiritual disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit interrupted me. Now, I know that this is going to be in part what I'm about to say. And he said, "Spiritual disciplines? Spiritual disciplines." And I said, "Yes." He said, "You don't have enough discipline to have a spiritual discipline." He said, "By the way, it's not a discipline, it's a privilege." And I went, "Oh, that changes it, doesn't it?"
Yes.
Because it shifts it from being a work of performance into an invitation into an opportunity.
Hmm.
And so even journaling, it can come into our mind as it is this work performance thing. It's a grunt. Is it a discipline? Yes, it is a discipline to do. But we need to get into our mindset that these are spiritual privileges. Journaling, my heart overflows. So what does your heart overflow with? Pen it.
Yes.
Start there. Open up. You know, I have a lot of ways I journal. I journal on my laptop. I journal in the middle of the night on my phone, on notes. And then I'll transcribe it into a literal journal. And I, you know, talk about that in this book. So, yeah, my heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the king. There's the key.
Yes.
There's your heart overflow. And whatever it is that's coming forth, are you addressing the audience of one?
So, Dr. Gall,
yeah,
wouldn't that be great advice to writers to write every word on your page as unto the Lord?
Absolutely.
And not try to impress people with your vocab or your depth of understanding of a scripture, but to communicate as to the king. To speak your heart. And I've been around you long enough and read enough of your books to know that you write in a flow. That word flow is always important to me.
Yeah.
I'll stop writing if I don't feel I'm in a flow because I don't control the flow, brother.
Yeah. Now, there's research. There's study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God.
Research.
Now, there's something that I have actually written right now, and I've pushed pause.
Okay.
Because as I've reread it, it's lacking some of these Holy Spirit personality, like aha moments. And so I think I wrote it a little more from my teacher side. And now I'm going back and I'm doing what I call coloring it. More from the testimonial, more from the heart side. Because you got to have the heart and the mind connect. And a scribe has the capacity to do that. So in this book, I give you wisdom lessons. There's actually 21 lessons in here in wisdom lessons on how to receive and retain and be a good steward of what the Lord gives you.
And that's in the scribe?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's 21 lessons in here on how to receive, retain, and be a good steward of what the Lord gives you. And then the whole middle section is like, I give you the opportunity. I'm teaching you how to do it. You know, you date it, you time it. What's mm-hmm. the location, the type of experience? Is there a primary scripture that relates? You know, the different key things. You know, I bring to the plate here some things that took me probably 20 to 30 years to learn, like in a dream. Are you observing, participating, or are you the focus?
So you're giving us a cookie recipe here. You're giving up a secret sauce, right?
Yeah, I am giving out some real key elements. Mm-hmm. And then what's a possible, you know, interpretation, or what's a reflection? Yes. Is there a prayer? And I'm giving room to help people learn how to do a prayer application. And then even in the back, there's a glossary of terms to help people just grasp some of the ABCs. Could this mean that? Things like that to help us, because when you start to go to write devotionally, you're going to write some things that might not at the moment. It's going to sound romantic. It's going to sound...
Oh, there's the singer. I heard my friend the singer come out. It sounds romantic.
Uh-huh.
You're going to tell a story here, aren't you?
Well, it's going to sound, oh, what is that? thy word, how about, is a lamp to my feet?
Yes.
It's a what? You know?
Right.
It's a light to my path. But what's that doing? Painting pictures.
Yes.
The word of God paints pictures. Your journal... Your journaling is going to paint pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you another key. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. You use the word flow a lot. A
couple times.
Charles Finney would say in his journals that I have read is that when he would feel like the anointing would dry up, he would withdraw and go into some prayer and fasting until he sensed it returned.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I will do is that I will pause, and then I will back away, and I'll go pray in tongues. And then when I pray in the Spirit, I get back what we might call in the flow, or in a zone, or my thought patterns begin to shift, and I begin to think then thoughts that I wasn't conceiving previously because I was already getting back in a worn rut, a worn track, and I had fallen over into that versus going down a path less known.
Yes, much less traveled.
Uh-huh.
So there's a bigger question that I think enters in this conversation now right at this point, and that's why now. What is the sense of urgency to release this message in the middle of this COVID? Why do you think God had it released in this season?
You know, that actually is a really great question, and thank you. So in reviewing last Passover, the voice of the Lord came to me and said, I have been waiting for a long time for my people to slow down long enough in order that they could hear what it is that I have to speak, because I have much that I want to speak in this hour. I want to speak to my people about the new ways for the new era, about the new wineskin for the new wine, and et cetera, more. Then I have been reflecting on those very words and realizing the scribe then is an application to the very word that the Lord gave me on Passover as a tool. Oh, he's been waiting for us and society to slow down. Yes. Why? He has much he wants to speak, but he doesn't want it to be runoff water. He wants us to be able to receive and retain because it is about creating new wine skins for new wine. It is about new ways for the new era. And so I just bless the listeners out there right now because God's got new ways. There's new inventions. There's new tracks. And part of this comes from out of this slowing down. I know we're all busy. Mm-hmm. We have to carve out the time. Now, I'm going to give you a parable.
Come on.
I just had eyelid surgery. Okay?
Okay.
Now, we're going into a new Hebrew year. I've had a double flap or a double fold on my eyelids. It's not unusual, okay? But I had to have this removed. And I had it done 3 weeks ago. And of course, my eyes then, you know, were black and blue and bruised and swollen, and I'm over it and healed. Okay. But as a prophet seer, this extra flap was actually putting pressure on my eyeballs.
Oh, my.
I didn't think about so much extra skin. It was putting pressure on my eyeballs. Number two, it was hindering actually my range of sight. Because when they did the test and they taped my eyelid up, I saw all kinds of things that I didn't know I could see.
Amazing.
Now, I don't have that weight on my eyes, pressure. I don't have that pressure on my eyes, and I have a more fuller range of sight. So I want to say, God wants us to draw near, and the scribe is about receiving and retaining revelation that he is releasing in this hour to us, to you, to the listeners, in practical ways about our life, about the education mountain, because it is changing.
Yes, no question.
It's not going to return to the way it was, because there's going to be new innovations. But for seers and for believers, period, I'm walking out another parable. Mm-hmm. Not only about I'm giving us a practical tool how to record our devotional and revelatory and lessons of life, but I'm also here to say the Holy Spirit wants to take pressure off. Remove stress and open our eyes so we have a wider range of sight. What do you think?
Yes. Yes. Brother, there's so much here that we could talk about, and I want to cover more of your book, but I think you're seeing something here, literally and figuratively, that the Lord wanted you to know, and you're sharing it so well.
Yeah.
So I want to slide our conversation just a tad toward dreams, because I know that you receive great revelation in your dreams.
Right.
I find that I don't dream at night.
Right.
When I get something from the Lord, I'm wide awake. It comes as a daydream.
Yes.
If you will. I'm awake. I'm alert. I know it's coming in. I don't get a bell to ring or anything. I just begin to get thoughts, and I can write them, and it flows for me.
Yes.
So help me understand how the Lord uses your dreams and probably many of our listeners. Mm-hmm. I just don't seem to, if I do, I don't remember them. And I know that's very common. So talk to us about dreams and revelation.
Yeah, but okay, scientifically, everybody does dream.
Yes.
So it is going to be an issue of learning how to call them forth. That's part of it.
Okay.
Part of it is an issue of possibly identifying some hindrances, which might be expectations, might be. Now, I'm not saying that there's not specialists, because there are. So let's say you're given more to visions. That I want to like give some sanity to people, because in the book of Daniel, Daniel says, I wrote down the following summary. And his was a vision in a dream. A vision in a dream. And in the scriptures, it says, I, Daniel, wrote down the following summary. He wrote it down, but he didn't write down every detail. A lot of people get lost in feeling like they got to write down every detail. Daniel didn't even do it.
That's right.
He said, I wrote down the following summary. That will give a lot of people a lot of sanity that you're being faithful if you just write a summary. Because if you do a summary, then when you read it, it will trigger the memory.
And then the flow will start.
Oh, there you go.
I get it.
Because all you need is the summary, and it triggers the memory, and you enter back in. Now, on a vision like you have, recently I was in a prayer meeting. It wasn't a dream, but worship is a key. Mm-hmm. I think for you, one of your keys might be what would be a referenced as meditation.
Okay.
It might be pause, and then you start to reflect. And whether it is meditating on scripture, but it's actually meditating. And I mean, see, we get tripped up because that is a God word, not a New Age word. And so we ruminate. We ponder, we reflect, we meditate. And that is a gateway into visions, mm-hmm. is biblical pondering, reflecting, chewing upon, think upon these things, the book of Philippians says. Yes. And so you chew on it, Joshua says, and you meditate upon these things, which that means to mutter. It's you rehearse it, and you kind of like talk to yourself. You rehearse it. Mm-hmm. And so that is a pathway to revelation. I think that that's one of yours. And so I was in a prayer meeting recently, I don't need to say the person's home, and I saw in a vision three men sitting on a platform. I saw a wind come perpendicular, straight down, hit them, blow them out of their chairs, and they were standing straight up. And then the wind that came on them went out of them. And then the voice of the Lord came to me. And so if you'll start with the small, lean into it.
Yes.
Give yourself to it then.
Okay.
And so this is just my phraseology. Lean into it. All but right. That's biblical.
Sure it is. Press in.
Yeah. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It says, lean not on your own understanding. So if we can lean not on our own understanding, then that also means that we can lean into our heart. So lean into it. And as I leaned into what I began to see, then the voice of the Lord came to me, and I heard, I'm sending my microburst to birth the micro church. Whoa. And that all started out of pause, reflect, worship, and then a snapshot comes to me, and I leaned into it,
yes.
and it unfolds. Folks, it starts small. It starts small, and you lean into it.
Amen. I get it.
Yeah, you do get it.
Dr. Gall, we don't have any time left, but we're going to take some more time.
Yeah.
Because I really want to get this question answered. It's important to our audience.
Okay.
So this will be our closing question.
Okay.
Maybe if we get there.
Sure. No, yeah.
But,
that's good.
But I want you to focus on this for us. Most of our listeners maybe have considered writing, would like to write, would like to journal.
Yes.
So help encourage this audience that journaling is for them, and what are the benefits of journaling, and how will God use them in that way? So it's basically to the practical listeners listening today, should they journal, and what's the benefit?
Hey, thank you so much. You know, I went back and I just pulled some of my journals out of the drawer. And go, well, so? And what I found out? Things I forgot.
Oh, that's good.
Well, guess what? The reason I said that. And I could go into details.
Do you want to give them to your kids?
Well,
is that part of it?
I mean, talking about things I haven't accomplished yet.
Gotcha.
And guess what? If the people out there, you will journal, give expression to your impressions. Write them down, date them. You might forget about it, but God hasn't, and you actually haven't because it's in a journal. Go back 6 months from now. Go back a year from now. Some of these, I went back 3 years ago, and I went, oh, my goodness, look at this.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you. It is a tool of retaining the impressions that you gave expression to, and it's a way that the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. So if you'll be faithful with little, God will make it into much. So he speaks. He's speaking to you. One of the great tools of increase is by journaling. And I want you to know, it can become a delight, not just a discipline. So maybe start once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Make it practical. Try to make it consistent. And you will become closer to God. You will be able to look back on your journey and learn from life's lessons. You will have something to reflect and to see a calling that is confirmed, and you will also, over time, have a lineage and a legacy to pass on to others.
Well, this is a good word. What a great podcast, great interview. You've given us so much to think about, pray about. First of all, let's talk about, I want to focus on your subhead again of the book, receiving and retaining revelation through journaling. So there's a godly purpose to journaling besides writing a keepsake forever. But this is to really grow in the Lord as well.
Absolutely.
So I want people to understand that too. So where can we find the Scribe today? How do we get it in our hands?
Yep. Thank you. So you simply go to James Gall, and my last name is G-O-L-L. And yes, I'm a doll, but it's a G with a gall. And so you go to James Gall or GodEncounters.com, and obviously it's available at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever. I will have next month a study guide and an e-course, and Charisma also carries my curriculum kits.
Yes.
So this will all be available not only at James Gall, but also my e-courses then are available through the Charisma network as well.
Yes. And our audience knows where to find those. And I'm loving your e-courses. I'm paying close attention to it. And I'm just excited about all the content that you deliver for the followers that you have that love you and appreciate you. And we certainly do here at the Charisma Podcast Network.
Hey, awesome. Great to be with you. Hey, and guys, I have God Encounters Today podcast that comes out on Tuesdays. And listen, I just have done some great ones on A Prophetic Edge and Let the Mouth Speak. And I just have done some more really good ones. I just did one on quietness. And I'm preparing some new materials for the 10 Days of Awe and helping us to get ready for the new Hebrew year. So thank you, Dr. Green.
Let me tag on to that. You have over 550,000 downloads on your podcast. I think God Encounters Today is doing very well.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. It is really an honor. So I have the Charisma blog that comes out on Monday, and I have the podcast that comes out on Tuesdays, and it's a blessing to partner with you.
Well, we're thankful for you and appreciate your time so much, sir.
Amen. Hey, God bless you.
And you. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we want to encourage all of you to pick up a journal and begin to hear what the Lord's saying to you and be a scribe. Get that book. It's available today. Launches today. It's there for you. Go grab it. God bless you all.